It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. The state and local fire services in Tuolumne County is the focus of today's show. We're joined in the studio by CAL FIRE Tuolumne Calaveras Unit Chief Nick Cashy and CAL FIRE Local 2881 Union Labor Chapter Director Mario Torres. It's great to have you both on Motherlode Views today.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you, BJ.
You know, before we get started talking about issues, I might ask you just to kind of explain your titles and the roles that come with them. I'll start with Chief Cashy.
Absolutely. So as the unit chief for the CAL FIRE Tuolumne Calaveras unit, I oversee all CAL FIRE resources in Tuolumne, Calaveras, and then Eastern, Stanislaus, and San Joaquin response. So with that, it comes the staffing of 22 engines, 15 stations, the Columbia Air Attack Base that has both fixed wing and rotary wing, as well as our crew facilities throughout the unit. Additionally to that, through cooperative agreement, I serve as the fire chief for the Tuolumne County Fire Department and the Groveland Community Services District.
And Mario Torres, how about you?
As the labor chapter director, I represent just under 500 members in Tuolumne and Calaveras unit. That's, you know, working towards better working condition, wages, and benefits for our members.
Very good. Well, Chief Cashy, I know there's been a lot of questions in the community about the Mono Vista Fire Station. Can you kind of provide an overview of the current operations there and the transition plan?
Yeah, so the Mono Vista Fire Station was originally staffed when the county was awarded a SAFER grant, which allowed 19 positions to expand the fire department. At the time, was currently two fire engines and allowed us to staff five fire engines at that point. So with the SAFER grant, there's a three-year expiration, so it only funds the positions for 3 years. And as that expiration is due this March, the total funding needed to continue staffing all five engines was going to need to be augmented through county coffers versus the funds from the grant, which no longer would be available. So with some new board policies in regards to utilizing fund balance, which essentially is savings from the previous year on a budget line, along with one-time monies for ongoing operations and choosing not to do that, it put the deficit for the compensation for the fire department at about a $2 million issue going forward into fiscal year 26-27. So with that, there was discussion with the board that if the ability to fund the fire department the way it previously was utilizing fund balance and other monies, should there be a shortage, was no longer going to be used, it was going to affect the level of service that we could provide. So on January 6th, myself and Assistant Chief Nathan Gorin, we provided a presentation to the board, a holistic approach of what that looked like, and then presented the information of what the impacts would be should there be a reduction in staffing or fire engines. And then the board voted, unfortunately, but understanding they have to make hard decisions based on the monies that are available, they voted for the reduction of one engine, and the Mono Vista engine was that.
So as CAL FIRE Tuolumne Calaveras Unit Chief, what was your reaction to that?
Our job is to educate the board with information and impact so they can make the best decision. So as a fire chief, we never like the idea of losing resources because we understand how vital they are for the response in the county. But I also understand the hard position the supervisors are in based on the fiscal constraints. So for us going into knowing that we were reducing the engine, we immediately shifted with making sure that our employees that would be affected were taken care of, our notice to our labor unions, and then determining our operational plans to ensure we still maintain the best level of service we could with the four remaining.
Mario Torres, over to you. What was your reaction to the decision?
My job as a labor representative is obviously to protect our membership and provide those jobs and ensure that they are able to work in those positions. With the SAFER grant coming on board, we knew it was a three-year commitment from the county to accept those federal funds, and it was going to provide 19 positions, which is 19 more people under our membership. With the reaction and talking to all the Board of Supervisors as a labor representative, it was known that there wasn't enough money to staff. As, you know, labor, we don't want to see a reduction because we already feel that our membership is working at a minimum staffing level. before losing that engine. And this is only going to further tensions on running more calls for our membership, lack of sleep, having to write more grants and everything to fund the things that they need for to do their jobs. So hearing the reaction, we quickly pivoted to, you know, trying to work towards a higher staffing level per engine. Currently, our members are 2 people minimum on each engine per day, and our goal is to get to that minimum 3-0 staffing. There's a National Fire Protection Association 1710, which basically since 2001 has said the minimum standard for fire departments should be a 4-0 staffing model, so 4 people on a fire engine. And we're half of that. So if we can get to 3-0, which is standard across California right now with traditional staffing, meaning a fire captain, engineer, firefighter 2, that's our goal as a union.
Chief Cashew, what type of impact do you think it's going to have on the fire service?
We provided some hypotheticals in our presentation on January 6th, which I believe is posted on the board website if anybody would like to see the presentation. But essentially, if you look at 2025 call response numbers for the Mono Vista fire engine, they responded about 1,225 times. And so the call volume that that engine filled before will then get displaced to neighboring closest resources based on the county's automatic aid plan. It is important to know for the public, and being really transparent, is that the Mono Vista fire engine does not always at the Mono Vista station due to the condition of the facility and not being able to stay for 24 hours due to it not being able to be inhabited by our employees because it's substandard in the conditions for 24-hour staffing. So what we would do is have the engine go during the hard time hours for the employees during the daytime and respond from Station 56, but the engine was actually housed at Mono Village, Station 51, for the remainder of that time. What that equated to is about 18% of the time the responses came out of Station 56, and the other 74% was out of Station 51, and then the remainder was times they were in the response area for the 2025 numbers. I bring that up is that on March 7th, which was one day after the SAFER grant was staffed, I believe it was that 2023, Mario?
Yes.
The engine responded with the Mono Village engine to a fire on Hess Avenue and was able to arrive with 2 engines in 4 minutes and complete a rescue. A total of 7 victims from that fire. True life-saving measures, just showing the depth of coverage that a second engine provides. So those are the types of incidents that may be rare comparatively, but there is a depth of coverage, or what we would say an additional resource to respond, serving Tuolumne County overall, that will no longer be there, and then that will have to get dispersed to other places.
And as you mentioned, it was tough decisions by the Board of Supervisors. Are you able to say, were there kind of counter plans that you would have liked to see instead, or things like that?
During my time working with the county over the years, I think that the issues with fire department funding are to a point where a funding mechanism needs to be established versus the ability to cut current budgets from other places to fund the fire department. And so with that, there comes constraints, whether it be on electeds or constituents, and making a decision on what kind of level of service they want in their community. And so in understanding, you know, as CAL FIRE and as the fire chief, we can assist in providing information, but we also can't pursue additional funding measures. That has to come from either community-based or from the board. And there have been several attempts. Unfortunately, they were not supported during those votes. So in understanding that, I think we were more acknowledging that this is the situation that has evolved, not in the short term, but over, you know, several years to get us to the point where we're at.
Mario Torres, you come from it from a union and labor perspective. Anything you'd like to add on the questions just asked?
Yeah, so coming from a labor perspective, we look at where Tuolumne County fires came from since 1977. In 1977, we had one engine that served the entire community outside of districts, which, you know, started in the low 200s per year call volume to where in the 2006-2007 time frame, that one engine still served the communities through Columbia, all throughout the county, and increased in call volume to above 2,300 calls per year. So it's a dramatic increase. One engine was not enough. We've been fighting as a labor union to obviously increase the number of engines that we've had in this county so the community is well protected. 2010, Station 76, Jamestown, comes over on a contract. It started off as a SAFER grant. And then after that SAFER grant was done, the county decided to fund that full time. Since 2010, Jamestown has become our busiest engine, where our members run over 1,900 calls a year down there. Fast forward to 2021, when the SAFER grant is put in for 19 positions. That increased our engines from 2 total paid staff engines to 5 total paid staff, or 4 total paid staff engines, with one coming from other grant funds. This was a huge increase. Our membership saw the dedication from the Board of Supervisors to buy engines when needed to support our membership in providing the best level of service for the community and allowing us to do that. One of the things we look at is, like we said, Station 56 is a volunteer only fire station. That's what it was built as. And when the SAFER grant came around, we said, what is the area that our membership's being affected in the call volume and everything? Soulsbyville, Mona Vista was that area, and that's why that engine's there part-time during the day between 9 and 4. Sleeping quarters, there is no sleeping quarters there. So to have an engine at that volunteer fire station, there'd have to be, you know, quite a bit of maintenance done to make sure that engine's housed there 24/7, 365. As far as our membership goes, we're going to continue fighting for 3-0 staffing on however many engines are here in our contract to provide the best level of service for the community.
Need to take a break. We're joined today by CAL FIRE Tuolumne Calaveras Unit Chief Nick Cashy and CAL FIRE Local 2881 Union Labor Chapter Director Mario Torres. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We're focusing on the state of fire service in Tuolumne County on this weekend's Motherload Views. We're joined on the show by CAL FIRE Tuolumne Calaveras Unit Chief Nick Cashy and CAL FIRE Local 2881 Union Labor Chapter Director Mario Torres. Chief Cashy, I'll go back to you. Going back to the Mona Vista Fire Station, which you kind of explained in depth during the first segment, and the employees that are currently there, can you kind of explain a little bit more about kind of what is going to happen with them?
Sure. So once the board gave direction for the reduction of 6 positions, what that does is that eliminates 6 positions from the agreement and essentially displaces 6 employees that were assigned to staffing the engine assigned to Mona Vista. And so with that comes the fact that we have our own parameters and rules in regards to noticing the labor organization, which is Local 2881. Timelines for advertising which positions are vacant for the employees to then select where they would like their new work location to be, and then timelines for the displacement of those employees to those positions. So through our cooperative agreement, they are county-funded positions that were eliminated, but they are state employees. And so the fact that they were state employees allows them to be relocated without, quote, losing their job, but there were still 6 positions that were removed from Tuolumne County Fire Department. So those notices have gone out. We've had a great dialogue working with our local chapter director as well as the employees to try to ensure that they have a work location other than the one they're in that is conducive for their needs, as well as supporting the unit and CAL FIRE or Tuolumne County Fire Department overall. We're currently about halfway through the identification of locations, and then on the current trajectory, their new work locations will start on July 1 of 2026, once the funding is removed for staffing that engine.
This is a smaller rural area, and I know there's several partnerships that you have and different things that make fire service work in this community. Can you explain how the different partnerships and the groups work together?
Sure. So, you know, in addressing that, we talked about just the Mono Vista, the volunteer station, the lack of 24-hour accommodations and how we made that resource work under the constraints that we had. We have a lot of other examples of that with other agencies or entities in the county that are really notable. One is the Groveland Community Services District. They have a Station 78 where there is a Groveland Community Services District funded fire engine, as well as a co-location of a Tuolumne County Fire Department engines that serves both GCSD's response area as well as county response area and provides a response in an area that is quite remote in relative to other fire resources in the county. That co-location and that, you know, spirit of response for both entities really helps serve the public the best. And without GCSD and the county being able to work through that and come up with what was the best model, it would be really tough for us to have an engine for the county in that area just because we lack the infrastructure. Another association of the infrastructure lacking in a good partnership is Columbia College. So Columbia College was able to work with the county when SAFER came on to be able to staff the engine for the county out of the Columbia College fire station. And what you see with that was really an exemplary approach from the local government, being Tuolumne County, the local college, in doing what's best for the community in providing a location and agreement so that we could have a response in the Columbia area. And in rural California, the one thing, whether you're local government or a state fire department, being able to do it on your own in response to fires is extremely difficult. We need everybody. Outside of that, those agencies that help stood up county fire additional resources really help the community as a whole.
Mario Torres, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, so as far as the six positions go, obviously that's six members that have put 3 years worth of work into knowing a response area, being intimate with the community, providing the best customer service possible, providing pre-plans of local businesses and being very familiar with what the needs are of that community and being response ready at all times. With the displacement of those positions on 7-1, obviously they will go either throughout this unit or to other units to fill positions in other places. It's a big hit to the community, in my opinion, that those members that want to be there and that have put time and effort into knowing that are not going to be able to pass that information down to anybody besides the ones at Station 51 that are going to pick up the majority of those calls. Some of the contracts that Chief Cashy mentioned as far as GCSD having a co-located engine, it works seamlessly. The two crews, they're basically one crew up there. The members, you know, everybody gets along, everybody trains together, and there's been zero issues at both GCSD or Station 79. Station 79, with our membership being paid staff, it provides an example for the college students that are staffing Station 79 also. In years past, that programs went from, you know, being college students only staffing a Type 2 engine and a breathing support for any structure fires in the county to transitioning to having a paid staff engine there who's assisting with Columbia College Fire Academy and instructional techniques and also providing an oversight over that college program to where these entry-level position student firefighters are getting to see everyday real world riding on a Type 1 engine with a professional fire department and learning the rules to become a great firefighter and have a 30-year career like we all hope for.
You know, the losing the Mono Vista Fire Station, is there any way to kind of determine what that's going to impact when it comes to response times?
Other than the hypotheticals we were able to present to the board, it's tough to say because you don't know exactly where the calls are going to be or how many you're going to get or what type they are every year, right? You do have statistical data that shows trends, but to hypothesize about what's going to happen is somewhat tough. But what we do know is that through the automatic aid agreement, areas of that response area that are now going to be lacking the presence of that engine will defer to the next closest resource. So with that, the surrounding areas being the Mono Village, Tuolumne County Station, we could anticipate potentially for the Twain Hart Community Services District to be impacted, or even Tuolumne City or our tribal fire department at Rancheria Fire. Through the agreement, the automatic aid agreement, picking up those emergency responses.
Mario Torres, anything you want to add?
Yeah, so as I stated earlier, we're at a minimum staffing level on our engines, which is two-person minimum per day. There are some days due to, you know, how schedules overlap that our members have three personnel. On those days when they have three personnel, you can see a significant difference in the amount of work that can get done, whether it be at a station, running medical aids, on vehicle accidents, or any type of fire. Structure fire response in this county, it brings four total engines, a battalion chief, safety officer, and three water tenders because of our rural water supply. That gives you eight personnel coming from engines that are actively working on a structure fire. Why that's a major concern is because in the event that our members, you know, have a mayday call to where somebody goes down inside of a burning structure or they're trying to rescue somebody and we have a mayday call to where we have to go in and rescue that person, it takes on average 5 to 9 personnel on an incident to create that one rescue while still providing coverage to extinguish the fire. Eight personnel is not enough. There is a minimum staffing of four personnel, like I said earlier, that those safety measures are in place to have four personnel to give you the adequate amount of staffing on those incidents to keep firefighters safe, the public safe, and provide a better level of service. So,
need to take one more break. We're talking with CAL FIRE Tuolumne Calaveras Unit Chief Nick Cashy and CAL FIRE Local 2881 Union Labor Chapter Director Mario Torres. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. We'll have our final segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking about the state of firefighting in Tuolumne County, joined on the program today by CAL FIRE Tuolumne Calaveras Unit Chief Nick Cashy and CAL FIRE Local 2881 Union Labor Chapter Director Mario Torres, getting into a number of topics. Chief Cashy, you know, as we sit and talk here, getting ready for March just around the corner, you know, what are type of things that are taking place to get ready for the upcoming summer fire season?
So with the January that we experienced that was, I would say, drier than normal, we were able to maximize our ability to do some prescribed firework in Tuolumne Calaveras Unit. Specifically, right before this last storm system, we were able to do about 588 acres of prescribed fire in 1 week. That was a really big success, especially due to the fact that it was in heavy fuel loading, which typically provides challenges due to containment and time of year to accomplish that. So our timing ability to do that right before the storms and then not have any issues or concerns going forward with the amount of moisture needed to support the desired effects is just one of those aspects. Prior to the storms we received, one of the concerns at the higher elevations was the fact that our heavier fuels were at a fuel moisture level that was supporting combustion, which typically this time of year they would have a lot of moisture and those heavier fuels wouldn't necessarily ignite. So we were using that as a metric to forecast what potentially could be a higher elevation, earlier fire season, but with the snowpack we received, we were happy to get that along with the rain as well, even though we know it was impacting to the community overall for the summer going forward. We think that'll set us up at least for beginning to be somewhat closer to normal, depending on the next month or so. But with that, we're going through, we're training our crews and our firefighters, as well as planning on our normal upstaffing dates as we get closer to that, what we call the transitional time frame of when fuels start to dry out. And so this time of the year, focusing on really trying to get the message out regarding defensible space and home hardening and things that homeowners and residents can do to prepare themselves for the next fire season.
Yeah, what are kind of the one or two basic things when it comes to defensible space or home hardening that you think people could should do and to get ready?
So the 4291 compliance, which essentially is the maintenance of vegetation around a structure within 100 feet, is one of the main things a homeowner can do to prepare for the next, the upcoming drier months of the fire year. I would also recommend with that, you know, right now we're covered in snow and rain. these next couple months as it starts to dry out to be proactive in getting that work done so that it's not bumping up into a time where it's not safe to do so in regards to dooryard burning or having burn piles and that sort of thing. Additionally, by visiting our website at fire.ca.gov, there are numerous things in how to prepare for evacuations, how to prepare your home, and other aspects on that preventative measures that homeowners or constituents can take to be ready.
Mario Torres, anything else stand out in your mind?
No, as far as our membership goes on a local standpoint, we're out in the community educating members on, you know, the needs that they have on every single call. If there's somewhere we can help, that's their due diligence in making sure the community is staying safe for the summer.
And this show is airing on Saturday and Sunday. If they do hear it on Saturday morning, Chief Cashier, there is an event coming up this afternoon.
Yeah, please come by the Columbia College Fire Station that houses Tuolumne County Fire Engine Station 79. We're having an open house from 2 to 6 on Saturday the 28th, and we would be happy to host any folks that are interested coming out, meeting some firefighters, seeing the facility, the fire engine, bring the family.
You know, the CAL FIRE Air Attack Base, is there typically a time of the year when that really starts to ramp up?
Yeah, so we'll start staffing the Columbia helicopter in April, and we do have latitude based on conditions if we need to move that date up if we start seeing a drying trend. But we'll have our rotary aircraft starting in April, and then our fixed wing will be based on fire conditions in the unit, which has we have availability to have the fixed wing on as soon as we need them. So as we monitor the weather conditions, the fuel moistures, and the trends, it'll be based on what kind of spring we have and when our drying trend starts.
What have you noticed when it comes to just new technology and ways that it's benefited firefighting?
Yeah, there's several things that have come up in the last couple of years that have really propelled those technological advances into supporting operations effectively. Our wildfire alert cameras that we have really give the ability to have situational awareness and what's going on with fires prior to our arrival, also confirming fires. What we're currently implementing, in fact, a training this week, is CAL FIRE has gone to a software program for managing incidents called Tablet Command. And so with that, all CAL FIRE resources and Tuolumne Calaveras unit going into the summer will actually have dynamic dispatching, which means a true GPS location of closest resource dispatching, in addition to the ability to have access to map overlays, real-time events on the incident, and a communication piece that we didn't have prior to that. So we're really excited for that new technology that's coming to all of our frontline equipment.
I have just a couple minutes left on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Any big takeaways from the TCU September Lightning Complex fire that impacted Chinese Camp, Copperopolis, Murphy's, and other areas?
The TCU September Lightning Complex was arguably the busiest fire day we've had in unit history. The next closest one, some folks would argue, would be in 1996 when a similar lightning event came through Tuolumne County, but primarily into the higher elevations. With that event being unforecasted for intensity and location, the 22 fires covering four counties and the resources that were extremely slim due to the number of fires and activity in surrounding areas as well, the best thing that a community can do to prepare for an event that is almost one you can't prepare for is just ensuring that your defensible space and home hardening measures are taken. From a fire department aspect, we've evaluated that incident several times operationally. We're very proud of the staff that responded and the fact of the damages that weren't and did not occur. However, we're very empathetic to the fact of what happened to Chinese Camp as well.
Touched on a lot of topics on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Mario Torres, any closing comments you'd like to make as we wrap up here today?
Closing comments, I'm just looking forward to a safe fire season for the community and our membership. I really appreciate the community support since 1977 for our members being their fire department through CAL FIRE contract, and we look forward to growing that contract to what we need it to be to keep this community safe.
Chief Cashy, anything you'd like to end with today?
I appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk about the issues around fire. It seems to be well-known in the community and a lot of attention surrounding it, and the ability to communicate on a large platform is much appreciated.
Well, we thank our guests today. We've been joined by CAL FIRE Local 2881 Union Labor Chapter Director Mario Torres and CAL FIRE Tuolumne Calaveras Unit Chief Nick Cashy. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.